Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
As we get to Matthew 6, it's again a test of motives. You know, he first started with prayer, and what was our motive for prayer? And then he kind of moves into fasting for just a brief second, and then he goes into giving. And what is the motive there? So let's read just six quick verses in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Jesus said this: "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy you." Your translation may say rust. "And where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to gather and to sing and to spend time in prayer this morning, and also now to open up your word. God, would you speak to us in general and specific ways as you move our hearts closer to you? We love you, God. In your name, amen. One of my favorite things when I was growing up was going to my we always called it grandma's house, but it was my grandpa lived there too. But going to their house and after Sunday morning church, and we had Sunday dinner, and my grandma fixed Sunday dinner every Sunday, literally until she died. Every Sunday, she died of pancreatic cancer very quickly, and the Sunday before she had the biopsy, and from the time they biopsied her until she died was about 10 days. So it progressed very quickly. Sunday right before that, she cooked Sunday dinner. So every Sunday, that was just a staple. And so the whole family on my dad's side of family would gather, me and my sisters, my mom and dad, obviously his, brother and sister and their kids and my grandma and grandpa, and we'd eat, and it was a great time. Usually it was football on TV. And if it wasn't football on TV, it was NASCAR season. And so then NASCAR would be on there. Nobody really liked any of the NASCAR stuff, but it was good napping time, if you know what I mean. That's what we would do. And one of my favorite things to do when, you know, NASCAR was on or whatever, the adults were talking, whatever it was to get the paper. Now, when I was about, you know, six, it was because they had the funnies in it, right? And they were in color, and it was like a, you know, it folded out, you know, and the normal paper is just on one little section, but it was like a whole thing. And so I used to love that. But then as I got a little bit older, I liked it for a different reason. What else comes on the paper on Sundays? All those circulars with all those sales, right? The Sunday paper is about this thick, right? You may get the Monday through Saturday paper and it can blow away pretty easily. That Sunday paper is not blowing away, right? It is there to stay, and it's got every circular for everything. And then you get closer to a holiday and it really like ramps up, and you're like, oh man, look at all this stuff I can get for not a lot of money. I mean, I was never really into guns, but I remember I'd look through and see the Academy Sports thing, like, look at these, I can get guns if I wanted. Like, look, check this out. That's a good deal on a gun. I don't even know what a good deal on the gun was, but I've just looked through and like, oh man, I get tennis shoes for $40 this week. That's great, you know? Or whatever it was, or man, this new PlayStation is. Because as a society, we are consumed in a lot of ways with spending. We like to spend money. We have had a problem at Mosaic Church of being able to give this money away. That we put 10% aside, and me and Bill have had a number of conversations like, man, let's get it out in the community. And we don't, you know, giving that money away, man, that's harder. Like, you have to think about it, you know, ask for help, tell us what's out there. But if someone just gave us $10,000 and said, here, just spend it on whatever you want, it would be like Wednesday and it'd be gone. If it wasn't gone by Monday, like we can spend money really easily. Giving it is a lot harder and a lot more difficult for most of us. And that's true even in this setting. It's kind of this interesting thing. And Jesus kind of knows this about us. And the thing that makes Jesus so attractive and so palatable is there are spaces and places in the Buddhist mindset. So you may have friends, it's kind of become popular in the U.S. It's obviously generated in the Eastern countries, but Buddhism really wants to say, what does it look like for us to deny everything so much to where we don't even, you know, materialism is not something that we even desire. And but Jesus knows, like, there's no way we're ever going to get to that point. Like, we're not going to. So what Jesus says is, what are you desiring? Let's make sure it's the right thing. Like, you want to consume, you want to, you're not going to be able to deny that. In fact, he created us, so he kind of knows how we're made. And he said, you're not going to be able to do that. So let's refocus then what it is that you're consuming and the reason for that. And so with that now reframed just a second, Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. And he goes into it and he says, this is why you don't want to do that. Every Christmas, and you can probably relate, my kids get toys. And every year, by the end of Christmas, one of those toys, if not multiple of those toys, are already broken, or a piece is lost, or something has happened, and there's been tears, and now this thing's never, ever going to be used again. Right? Jesus is basically breaks it down and says, don't store for yourself treasures here on earth where all this stuff can happen. But store for yourself treasures in heaven. So let's just chat about that for a second. God tests, and Jesus through this tests our motives. And he says, I know why you're gathering these things. It's because deep in your heart you have desires. And what I want you to do is desire the right things, because you're desiring something that's going to fulfill you. You're desiring something that's going to provide something for you. If you've ever, did anybody here ever work in marketing? Marketing? Well, you kind of did, maybe a little bit, but like specifically like building ads or like ever taking classes in college. They'll teach you, like, there's a three-step method to marketing. And I don't remember all three because I didn't take them, but a marketing guy told me this one time. The one that stood out in my brain was you have to convince people. The last two, I don't remember what the first one was. The last two, you're basically convincing people that they don't have something, that what you have is going to meet their need and make their life better, and that their life can't kind of function properly or as it should without that thing. And we know that if you hear that and you look at ads, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, there's this new Camry, and it's got the best gas mileage. It's got all the gadgets in there that are really going to make your drive better and safer, you know, for your kids and your family. And now, and you can do all this other kind of stuff with it. And I really need this because this is what's going to help me kind of have a successful life. There was a movie. Did anybody see this movie called Meet the Joneses? Anybody remember? This is probably about 15 years old, 10, 15 years old. There was this movie called Meet the Joneses, and there was this family that wasn't really a family. They were all hired. They were all actors and actresses. And they moved into this kind of new up-and-coming neighborhood. And they were like this perfect family because they were actors. They could just act their way out. So the husband and the wife were like the most loving husband and wife ever. And the kids were the happiest kids. And they had all this stuff. And so what they would do is they would then introduce these new products to the neighborhood. And so the dad would just practice his golf swing every day, but the people didn't know it because they just thought he went out to work, practicing his golf swing. And he'd go out on the golf course, and, you know, he's really lighting it up. And people said, wow, what is it? He said, well, I bought these new clubs. And these new clubs are what are helping me. And so they would start buying the stuff. And that's just, this was kind of the racket. And so these people, you know, this market comes, you pay them. And you know, somebody's asking, you know, what is it to make your marriage? It's like, oh, how do you have such a great marriage? It's like, well, it's just giving random gifts all the time, just because I love her. And that's telling them, like, hey, if I spend more money, maybe I'm going to have this. And so this this neighborhood like just starts to rack up debt, and this stuff is being sold. And it really ends in a tragic way because the guy that the male character kind of builds the biggest friendship with actually commits suicide by driving his brand new John Deere. He tied himself to his brand new John Deere tractor and drove it into their brand new swimming pool and drowned himself because he had racked up so much debt, and all this stuff didn't satisfy, didn't create the good marriage, didn't create the happy family. It didn't do anything other than make him more miserable, because now not only does he not have the stuff he was wanting because he bought this, but now he's got all this extra debt. And God knows that about us, is that we want stuff. We want things. Like we want to get anything that will satisfy what's wrong inside of us. And we all know there's something wrong inside of us. And we know when we come to church, that answer we're supposed to say is Jesus. But really, when we're not church, sometimes we're thinking, man, that new TV, hey, that would help in a lot of ways. That probably would help bring the family together around the TV. And we could do all this kind of stuff, and it doesn't satisfy. Or if I can just save enough for retirement, then that's really going to be good. Or maybe this family, and so not that any of this stuff is bad, because this is all stuff I have in my house. So if you're feeling guilty or awkward, it's okay. Like it's all. But Jesus is basically telling us, like, this is not what's going to satisfy you. So now let's change and refocus your desires. Instead, let's build up for yourself treasures in heaven, where it's not going to be broken by the end of Christmas Day, or that new Camry in 20 years is not going to be rusted through, and now it's going to be time to buy another one. You know, where whatever is like, what does it look like for us to build into the kingdom of God? And we try to satisfy that stuff with things that aren't necessarily monetary, although Jesus is kind of dealing with that specifically. But we know this can be true with just about anything. We can do this with relationships. We can do this with our time. We can do the same kind of stuff with just about anything. We think if we just refocus, redo, if I had this relationship, if I spent more time doing this, if whatever, then I could have my soul and heart satisfied. And there's a reason. As I'm thinking through this yesterday, and I'm thinking through all the stuff we do, and earlier this week, the song kept coming to my mind that if we just turn our eyes to Jesus, then all the things of earth, all the stuff I want to accumulate that's going to make my life better, all the relationships or all the extra time or whatever it is, it's going to start to grow strangely dim in the light of who God is and what God can do and accomplish. And so Jesus isn't saying, don't buy stuff, don't desire stuff. He said, just change the desire. Make sure your desire is for me to be glorified. Back to the beginning of the prayer last week. Hallowed be your name. Could your kingdom come here on earth? One way that happens is by how we give. And that goes beyond money. But it does include our money. It includes every part of us. There's no part of our lives Jesus does not want us to sacrifice and lay down at his feet for him to take control of. And so he addresses money. I remember when I was 15 years old, my granddad, I'm learning to drive, and my dad had this old Mercedes. And I say old, I mean, this was in 1995, and this Mercedes was a 74. It was a hunk of metal that had this diesel engine, and you had to have the right combination of everything. You had to pull this thing while you're pressing this, and then you hit the button, and it cranks up, supposedly. It quit cranking up after some time, even though I plugged it up every night. And so every morning, we lived on top of a hill. I'd have to push this hunk of metal out of my driveway every morning. Turn the wheel. My dad would get in there, he'd be turning the wheel while I'm pushing. And I was trying to get him to switch with me some days. He never would. So I'm pushing. He told me it was part of my football training. I'm pushing this car out, pushing it out of the driveway. And then I had to start pushing it down the hill. I had to pop the clutch, drive it back up the house and leave it running for the next, 45 minutes while we got ready. Could not turn off, or that thing was not coming back on. And that was my activity every morning. But my granddad had just, this guy came to him in need. And he was all he had was a car. And he's like, would you buy this car for me? I need some cash. So my granddad bought him a car. And it was a 1988 Pontiac Fiero. And it looked really, really cool. And it was white. And still had the engine in the trunk for whatever reason, but it was nice, right? And I loved that car. And I used to talk to Papa. I was like, Papa, can I drive it sometimes? He's like, no, you can't drive it. Okay. So on the day after I took my driving test and passed it, I was the kid who failed my driving test three times. No, I failed it twice. I passed it a third time. I'm sitting at my house, and I just taken the Mercedes for a spin, and my granddad comes driving up in a white Pontiac Fiero, and he hands me the keys and said, if you'll come do the maintenance, the yard maintenance at my office every week, you can work this car off of me. And he hands me the keys. I thought, like, everything's done. Like, all my D's just turned to A's. Everything. This was going to satisfy all my problems. I was a dorky 10th grader with pimples, but all of a sudden, man, I'm a straight-A student with good hair and good, clean skin, and everything's done. 3 months, because probably 6 months later, I'm driving to school with my sister and my cool Pontiac Fiero with the engine in the back. And we're coming on top of a hill. And there, for some reason, in the middle of the road, a car stopped. So I slam on brakes. Now, I don't know if you guys remember what a Pontiac Fiero looks like, but it looks just like a wedge. And if you hit a late 70s Pinto at 40 miles an hour, it acts just like a wedge, too. Because the next thing I know, I am up under a Pontiac Fiero, and his Cadillac had hit me in the back where my engine was. So now the engine's done, the front of the car's done, car's totaled. It did nothing for me, and it went away just like that. But I thought, man, everything's done. Everything's golden. Everything's great. It was one of many lessons over my life, and there have been many more, that tell me all the stuff that I can build my life on can be quickly taken away. And Jesus knows that is true. And he says, so just build up what you have. Store up treasures for yourself in heaven, not on earth. And he looks at us and says, that is actually what will begin to satisfy you even more. Because that is what's going to pay off for eternity. For eternity, you will have built up stuff. And if we can look back to Jesus' words, this is actually what he's telling the Pharisees earlier about the prayer. When he says, don't be like those guys. They're praying at the money and saying, if you're given just to build up for yourself treasures on earth, then you've gotten your reward. It's already paid in full. And it's going to just go away. So store up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's that second part now of that prayer. First was, hallowed be your name. Like, it's kind of all about me, and I want everything you have to be about me, even in the way you spend your time and money. And in the way you spend your time and money, you can actually fill that second part of that prayer in allowing me to help my kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. This week, for a single mom, as a church, we were able to show her a picture of the kingdom of heaven by the way that we just said, you know what, we're just going to set aside 10% of what we give or what we take in as a church and put it out. And so there's a single mom now this week who has her power bill paid because of that. And we have other stories. I mean, there are mentors. This was how actually Will even got connected with this single mom, was through the mentor program. I am a mentor to a mentee as well. And there are now kids who are missing something, be it discipline or a parental unit or whatever it is. Maybe they just need a friend or they need some help. You know, they're going to get something and are getting something because of some gifts that we gave. Where we said we want to build into the kingdom. We could use them to buy whatever. It's not, and we buy stuff. I mean, these chairs weren't free, you know. Our sound system isn't free. It's not that we don't, but what does it look like for us as people to store up for ourselves treasures on earth? I mean, treasures in heaven instead of treasures in earth. And so here's the interesting thing. Charles Spurgeon No, no, no. As G.K. Chesterton one time said, there are two ways to accomplish this by happening. One is to make more money, or one is to want less stuff. But there's one flaw in that. Now, show of hands if you've ever made enough money in your life. Therein lies the flaw. It's always just a little bit more, right? Like, I don't want a whole lot, just a little bit more. Like, if I just had a little bit more, then I'd be where I need to be, and then I can invest in the kingdom or wherever it may be. If you ask somebody, what would you do if you won the lottery? And you've probably played this game in your head, because we have some pretty big lotteries lately. Like, what would it be like to win? Even the small, like even the $1 million, like, you know, that's, I feel silly saying that's small, but in relation to like the billion that was won recently, that's pretty small. What would you do? And people are like, oh man, I would give a lot of it away. I mean, I would probably buy a new car, a new house, and, you know, I'd probably set my family up and whatever, but then I would give like the rest of it away, you know? Like the 10,000 that's left over, I would give that away, you know? Because we can do that, because we just need a little bit more. And then once we get that, then we can take care of the other stuff. And Jesus is actually saying, let's flip that a little bit. And just to preview next week, just for a second, Jesus is basically saying, I want you to actually rely on me. Trust in me that I am going to be able to take care of you. You can give in a way that stores up treasures in heaven and still have your needs met. Because you remember, in the prayer I just taught you to pray, it was in there. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need today, what we need to function, what we need to push through and to live. But trust that I can do that, and you can be obedient in this area. Now, let me just take this real quick second, and I'm going to relate it to something else. But before I do, I just want to take a quick second and say, I am not a guy who talks about tithing in the church. And when I say tithing, I don't mean giving. I mean like it takes a certain percentage and says, this is what you should give. Because we see that through the Old Testament. I mean, God did say, bring this. The famous verse that everybody likes to quote in Malachi is, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, right? But the problem with that is, if we get to when God comes in flesh and now he's on the scene, he doesn't take a percentage. What does Jesus say to give? Everything, 100%. He does take a percentage, but it's 100, right? You remember the lady with the widow who was giving the money? And depending on what Bible you read, it's the two pennies or the widow's mite or whatever it is. Like you kind of use different language for that. But essentially, Jesus says, she's more blessed than all these people. Like, what are you talking about? You know, this guy gave, you know, 10% of his income, which was a lot of money. It's like, well, I don't care about that. In fact, she gave everything she had. She actually just said, I'm going to give all this because I'm going to trust that God is who he says he is. And so I don't ever talk about tithing, but I do talk about hearing from God and knowing what God has called you to give. And that is not just to a church unit. That is just to whatever. If God is telling you to give, you have to give. And if God isn't, well, you can choose to if you want, but you don't, you know. I feel quite at liberty saying, you don't, like, don't, you know. But people pray, have to give. So I'm actually more interested in telling people, pray. Ask God what he wants you to give and where he wants you to give it and how he wants you to give it. That's actually harder. Churches like the 10% thing because it's easier to say. Just give 10%. That's kind of lazy discipleship. It's just saying, well, just do what I say because we can find it in Scripture, so that's good. You know, it covers me from being a heretic and trying to take your money. But I'm saying, like, you got to pray and hear from God. Like, what is God telling you? And that's much, much harder. And I can't legislate that. And I can't tell you, like, this is what it should be. I have no clue. Because I'm not God. I know what God's called me to do in my family, but I have no clue for you. But God does, and he'll tell you if you ask him. Sometimes we just don't want to hear it, truthfully. But there have been times in my life where I remember like praying about it. And if I had followed this like guilty thing that had been built in me from the time I was a little kid of 10%, like I remember there were times in my life where I was strapped and even 1% was a stretch for me. And I remember there was one time specifically where I felt like God said, give me 5% of what you got. And that was, like I said, 1% would be a stretch. 10% would have been really bad. I guess he split the difference. I don't know. But I did. And I didn't see any less of God's faithfulness and blessing in my life. In fact, I felt like God was blessing me to the point where this guilt from my childhood creeped in. I was like, I got to give more because God is just, like, this is too cool, you know? But we have to be people who pray and seek God. What are you telling me to give? Are you telling me to give 75%? Are you telling me to give 1%? Like, I don't know. Because we do know from Scripture there was a time where they told them to stop giving. We got enough. So they were giving 0% then. They weren't being unfaithful to God, and they weren't being unbiblical. That happened. Like, they did it because the priest told them, like, hey, we got enough. Quit giving. Continue to be generous in your own life, because they did tell them not to glean to the edges of their field, but, you know, don't need to bring it to the church. There were those things, too. It is important for us as people to hear this from God. We can actually take this principle and apply it across everything we do. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. This can be applicable to our church as well, our church family, not just our individual lives. Like, we can say, hey, I want this. I want this because this satisfies my need. This satisfies my desire. This satisfies my whatever it is. And not be seeking what satisfies God. And not seek what satisfies, what builds into his kingdom. But, you know, we're satisfied, so we're good with it. That's why people church hop, right? Like, this church has got what I want, so this is where I'm going. But it doesn't satisfy, because you never, if that's what you're searching, like, that goes away. Jesus said, build into the kingdom. Build into what I am doing. Trust that I'm going to take care of you as you release your time, your energy, your money, whatever it is that you're releasing to make this thing happen. Trust that I'm going to fill it back up. People talk about, I remember hearing this preacher, if I'll just kind of close on this. I remember hearing a preacher a few years ago, I say a few years ago, it's probably been 20 years ago now, talk about how angry he got at people talking about just, you know, running the steady race for Christ. And you can't go too far because then you'll crash and burn. And then he's like, that is such lack of faith in who God is. He's like, I want to sprint the whole way, trusting that God's going to give me the energy when I need it to continue doing it. And that's kind of the principle Jesus is talking about here. Like, you can give your time, your energy, your money, all that you have within you to be able to give. You can give that, and you can store up treasures in heaven for that stuff, trusting that I'm going to give you everything that you need. So you're not going to be able to volunteer your time any more than I'm going to be able to give it back to you. You're not going to be able to spend your energy any more than I'm going to be able to give it back to you. You're not going to be able to overspend your money any more than I'm going to be able to take care of you. And he ties it in with where we're going next week, where he says, and so don't worry about a thing, because I've got all of it. And think about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. I mean, that's where Jesus goes from here and says, I got it all. And so you can very freely give, trusting that I'm just going to take care of you. And so this morning, we want to come as people with gratitude in our hearts for the fact, A, that God has taken care of us and brought us to where we are. And even if we're in a hard place right now, God is still with us. And we get to worship a God who's been in a hard place himself. And if we're in a good place, we get to worship thanking God for all that he's done. It's interesting this week that this message comes up, because last Sunday night, I'm thinking, man, it's a little warm in the house. But everybody just left. And I thought, so I cut on AC and I didn't hear it cut on. I was like, that's strange. I kept testing. It never came on. So my AC's got this leak and I got to change the evaporator coils in it. Not a cheap job, apparently, as I found out. But I was like, God, thanks, because this thing was still under warranty. So I mean, I got to pay for labor and some, you know, the refrigerant. But so that was a blessing. It's like, oh, God. God, you blessed us. I mean, we ain't got in the air right now until this thing's fixed, but you blessed us. And then this guy came in and he actually said, well, I can pump it up. I mean, the leak's not that fast. I mean, it'll stay in there until the part comes in on Tuesday and you'll be cool. Oh, that's fantastic. And he did it on Wednesday, the last cool day we had of the week. And so I was like, God, how did you take care of us? And that when our AC went out, it was cool. And then when it got hot, now we got this thing back again. And how much of a blessing was it that it happened last weekend and not this weekend? But guess what? There are people who it's going to happen for this weekend, and God is no less faithful in their lives either. But it was a place where I could just teach my kids a little bit and say, look at this. And there's going to be spaces where it's going to go out in July, and God is still good to us. And then I come home in the midst of all this on Wednesday night, and my washer and my dryer's not working. Are you kidding me? My dryer's not, like, everything else going on this week. And it was a crazy week. And everything else going on this week. I was like, are you kidding me? My AC's out. My dryer's not working. And it was just this simple heating element that I could fix. And I was able to pick it up the next day. And I got cuts all over my arms because of the sheet metal inside of the dryer. But whatever. And God was just faithful. But it was okay if it had gone out and it had been $1 million to fix and taken 8 weeks. We still had the air. We still had things that we could do, and God was faithful to us. And so we serve this God who, whether our AC goes out in July or not, whether, you know, we get the healing from the sickness that we want, or we get our eternal reward, that God is faithful. And he's saying, like, this eternal thing is coming. And so store up for yourself treasures there, because all this other stuff is going to fade away. It's going to rust. It's going to go down the tubes, and it's not going to be around anymore. But I'm telling you, there's going to be something that's going to be around. So we get to come this morning as a church family who, as a church, we've experienced God's faithfulness in providing a building right when we needed it, in providing money so that we can give it away and bless our neighborhood. And God has been unbelievably faithful. And so we have to be people who can come to him when it's hard and when it's good and say, thank you so much, God. But I want to store up even more here. How can I build up my treasures on earth? And he'll tell us. Like, we don't have to, like, just pray for wisdom and he'll bring it to us. So this morning we had to come to a table where God provided all that, like more than we even knew that we needed at the time. He provided a Savior so that we could have eternal rest in him. And we can live eternally with him. And so ultimately, he has provided. And even temporarily, he provides for us. And so we get to come with thankfulness on our hearts. And so this morning, we're going to pray knowing that we can't serve two different masters. We have to pick one. And my prayer for all of us is that we, on a daily basis, pick the better one, that we store for ourselves treasures in heaven and not get so consumed with filling ourselves with these treasures on earth. And so let's pray. God, you have provided all that we need. God, many times you provide all that we want. God, we love you. We've seen your provision just here in our church body. And it's unbelievable, and we're so thankful. Maybe we'll do this sometime, but God, if we just individually shared in all the ways that you have provided for us, we would certainly be here longer than an hour, because you've been so gracious and so good to us, even in the midst of things that seem bad. God, you've been good to us. And God, so we're thankful that you provide, that you give us our daily bread. God, when we start to focus on things that aren't going to satisfy, God, would you remind us gently that you're the only one that truly satisfies, that the new stuff is not going to satisfy us. But we're thankful you let us buy it from time to time. But God, would we focus more on what it looks like to store up treasures in heaven? that we may see your kingdom come here on earth, that we may use all that we have, from our money to our abilities to our time. Everything that you give us, God, would we use that to further your kingdom? And the areas that we still are holding them back from you, God, we're thankful that you're gracious even in those moments. Would you give us strength to believe that you can replenish all that we use for you? We love you, God, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.